Well, it's a privilege to minister God's word to you. And Louise first will send her love. Wherever you are, she says, make sure you tell them, send them her love. I prayed really before we came out today that God will just minister to her. And I was praying for her for about 2 minutes and she was fast asleep. Completely fast asleep. So let's pray that God will give the, what He started in good work in her, He will complete it and then bring it about. Amen. And look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, or verse 1 and 2. Lord, I pray you'll bless this word to our hearts. Help in order to do that which you have given it to me. But Lord, it's not my word, it's your word. And so we ask that you'll bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 19 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God, am holy. God's greatest creation was man. He said, let us make him in our own image. And made man in the image of God, made he that man. And he did it for one purpose. One reason, he might have communion with him. He might speak with him. And I'd love to have been a spider on the tree in the garden, listening to what was the conversations when the Lord came down in the midst of the, in the cool of the evening and sat and spoke with Adam and Eve. And the whole situation was exactly what God wanted to be. But the problem is that they failed. And they broke that relationship that they had. And God ever since then has been endeavouring to raise up a people that would exactly be, that he would be able to have communion with. And the people he raised up initially was Abraham. And he thought out of Abraham he would make a nation of people that would come, would be able to worship and be able to have a special part with him. And so, the process of time, 3 million came out of Egypt. This was the nation God was when it formed. This was the nation that God brought about. And it says that in Exodus 19 and a few verses in there from verse 5, it says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words of which you shall speak unto the children. God wanted Israel to be a holy nation, a priesthood, but they refused. They didn't want it that way. Said to Moses, I think you'll find, said to Moses further on, you speak to God on our behalf and come back and tell us. But God wanted the communion between him and them. He didn't want this gap. Didn't want this break away from where they were. And so they failed. And in that failure, they lost the communion they had with God. And then we never ever got it back again until Jesus died on the cross. Oh, they had great... God said, go into the land. When you get into the land, take the cities. Kill everybody because of the evilness of the land. The land was full of idolatry and sin. And they came into the land. Said, don't give your daughters to their sons. Don't let their sons take your daughters away. Don't let their daughters take your sons. Keep yourself pure. Yeah. Keep yourself right. And I love to rewrite the Bible sometimes. But when they go into the land first time, they see the pomegranates and the bunches of grapes, the giants, tough and tall. They were there, giants were there. And that's what they said, oh, we can't do it. We can't make it. But God says, I'll go before you. But they said no. And they rebelled. And for 40 years, God kept them in a wilderness experience, but they never actually achieved what God wanted them to achieve. Can you imagine if you read your Old Testament and see the things that Moses said, this is how we would do it, This is how you live your life before me. This is what I want you to do. Want you to do. Do put these orders that every law that's ever been made in any country across our world, in democracy society, there's no one get round me teeth that, but has been based on the Ten Commandments. And we, our land was ruled by the same commandments. But if the Israelites had gone into the land and did what God said to them to do, they would have been a great nation. They'd have been a nation that everybody would have looked up to. Even now today, some of the things that they do are far advanced from any other nation in the world. God has got his hand upon them. But what if only they'd have been obedient? If they'd only done what Leviticus says, be thou holy. To be holy means you're set apart. You're set apart unto God. You're set apart for sacred things. You're set apart to do those things that will bring the purposes of God into your own life, into your life of a church, and into the life of the community. God wants you to be holy because he wants you to be like he is. He says, be thou holy, even as the Lord thy God is holy. And that holiness means separated unto something special. Separated unto something that is right in God. Holiness is a place where we do not allow profane things, things that would come into our lives to destroy the life of God. We don't allow holiness is something that we do because we want to be closer to the Lord. I can remember when I first got saved, I was challenged a few weeks ago. What do I allow now that I wouldn't have allowed then? And I looked at my life and I thought, yes, there are things that I would allow myself to do now that I wouldn't have done years when I first got saved. I was brought up in a church that was very, very much into the second coming of Jesus. And I thought he could come any day. And I still think he can come. Or he can call me home. So I want to be found in the place where he would like me to be. He says, be thou holy. Be set apart. Be consecrated and dedicated to the things that I want from you. And Moses had this command from the Lord. It wasn't something that Moses thought up. It came from the Lord himself. And God wanted a people who were set apart unto him that was holy as he was holy. And I know that we have times of difficulties and problems, but God is working in our lives to do one thing, and that's bring us in that place of holiness. Lord wanted them to be morally and ceremonially clean. That means that when they went into minister into the temple, there was a lot of washing, a lot of cleaning to be done before they came to present their gifts to the altar. And if they'd have only saw what God could see. The problem with us is that we only see the now, but he sees the future. And the Hebrew says faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you can have things happening in your life at this moment of time that are producing in you something that you can't see, but you see it further down the road and say, wow, was that what you were about, Lord? Was that what you were doing? Is that why you were speaking to us? And morally, he needs us. If ever we needed people that would stand up for the moral standards that God has laid down, we need it today. I've been absolutely surprised as the girls that come in to do a little bit of care for me each day. How many of them live with their partner? They don't say, oh, will you come and my husband? Will you come and I'm going to go home to my husband? I was sat in the doctor's, and one lady, she must be, well, she's an older lady than, she's one of the older ladies of the group. And it said, Miss So-and-so. I thought, Miss? I didn't know at the time, because she never said very much about those things. But then I realised that another one that bypass what God has said, bypass the standards that God has taught. But if we are going to be holy, and we've got to be set apart, we've got to have His standards within our lives. Paul says, and it's a verse I've used many, many times, Paul says, therefore, because of what I've just said, I love that word, therefore. I always look at why it's there. What's it there for? It's telling you what I've just told you. I'm now going to tell you how to live that like I want you to live, or how I want you to adjust your life to what I've just said. Therefore, Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. When I was younger, I used to wonder, what's the unclean thing? What is that? It's anything that gets between you and God. It's anything that causes you to lower the standards that God has required. And he said, if you will do this, Paul goes on to say, if you will separate yourselves and you come out from among them, be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. Great to be received of the Lord. When you come into His presence, you know that He's received you. Not because of what you've done. Not because of what you've achieved. Not because of what you've attained. But because of what Jesus did. He paid a price we couldn't pay. He paid the price of sin. I had no chance of being able to overcome my sin until Jesus came into my life. And so Paul says, if you will do this, God says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. And you'll find in 2 Corinthians 17 these words, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I'm glad I've got a heavenly father. I didn't know my own earthly father. He was alive when I was in my early teens, but I'd never seen him for 6 years because of the war, evacuation and things like that. So I never knew what it was to have a father who cared. And quite frankly, I had a job. People used to talk about our Heavenly Father who was loving and caring and did all these signals. But what do they mean? What are they saying? I've got a loving Heavenly Father. All I knew of my father was he was drunk and he didn't know what he was doing half the time. When he didn't have it, he was that miserable that you don't get in his way. So I didn't know what it was to be patted on the back, saying, "Good lad, you did well there," or any of those things. So I had to adjust. To realise that I got a Heavenly Father that cared for me, and I was His child. My father came to me in Stockton-on-Tees, asked me where I lived. He said, do you know where David Sid Street lives? Ask me. I said, well, I'm David Street. He said, well, I'm your dad. And that's how much I knew him. But let me tell you, you can know the Heavenly Father in a greater way if you will be holy and you come out and set apart for Him. As we are set apart from Him, what we were before our separation, we become different. We start to live to God's standards. Romans 8, which you know is is becoming one of my favourite verses. Romans 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God. And we've looked a little bit at that today. But Romans 8, 29 says this. And we know that all that's 28, sorry, 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined. For whom He foreknew. And I used to struggle with that. How does He know? And then you read it on the front, it says, I knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew you were going to sit in this room today. He knew exactly what you was going to do regarding the things that we've been doing so far. He knows you. Let me tell you, you can't hide anything from him. But he also predestined you. He's planned for you. He's got a plan and purpose that he might conform you or work upon you in such a way that you become like Jesus. And if you will set yourself apart, because that's what you can do, you can say, I'm going to set myself apart, and the things of this world are not going to take away from me that which God has required at my hands. Before the fall, he met Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. And I'd love to have been there. I've said it before, but I have an imagination. You see, Adam and Eve could look at the face of God. But God said to, I think it was Jeremiah, maybe it might be, anyway, one of the prophets said, let me see your face. So I'm sorry, you can't. Because if you see my face, it was Moses, was it? Moses, if you see my face, you'll die. No man can look upon God's face and live. But what I'll do is, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. When I pass by, I'll put my hand over it, secure you, till I've gone past, then you can see my back. We are limited. Because of what Adam and Eve did, we are limited in what we can do. But the limitations are broken away as we are prepared to become holy. It's just something that you have to do. God won't do it for you. Well, God won't come along and suddenly one day change you. He'll give you the ability to do it. He'll give you the strength to do it. But you've got to decide yourself. And as Moses was told, be ye holy. God didn't say, I'll make you holy. He said, be ye holy. And it's up to you. It's your prerogative. And God is still desiring to meet with his greatest creation. He still desires to meet with us in fellowship and communion. But as we give our lives to him, and we set ourselves apart for him, we set ourselves in a place where we allow the work of the Holy Spirit to be done in our lives, that we become holy. Otherwise, we put off the old man and put on the new. Many people have said, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. It will all be taken care of. No problems, no troubles. When I came to Jesus, a fight started. My old man wanted, my old way wanted to do its thing. My old desires wanted to come to the fore. My new man, I was in Christ Jesus, a new creation. There was a fight going on. And there's still a fight going on. The old man still wants to rise up within me and do its own thing. But if I'm prepared to say, I'll put that man to death. He died when I gave my life to Jesus. And let the new creation become part and parcel of us. I should start to work in that place where holiness is starting to work in me. And we start our communion with the Lord as he wants. Just recently I've been looking at what happens when we pray. What happens? Who do we pray in the name of? Jesus. Jesus is sat next to the Father, interceding on our behalf. And he looks at the prayer and he says, yes, they need that prayer. They need that. So Father, grant it to them in Jesus' name. Then he sends the Holy Spirit to do the work. And that's the Godhead working on your behalf, on my behalf. That's the Godhead doing that which will bring about his purposes for our lives. The new man is separated from the old man. And I wanted it to go that way. But lots of times, the old man raises his ugly head. And I think, oh, we shouldn't have done that. 5 seconds after I've said something, I say to myself, I wish that hadn't happened. But I can't go back. But I've got one who can forgive. One who can take away those things. God wants and expects us to live in such a way that the old man with all its ways and its evilness is put to death. And we live in the newness of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. He could have stopped there and that had been good enough. But he says, and die more abundant. And if you look into that particular part of it, the abundant life of Christ is far greater than we could even ask or think. And I want some of that. I want my life to be lived in such a way that the abundant life of Jesus flows through me. And as I go around in my daily walk, people will see and know that I've been with Jesus. You see, my friends, we can have a Christian experience that is superficial, or we can have a Christian experience that's deep and settled in Christ himself. And that's your prerogative. You've got to make your mind up. Moses didn't say, God will make you holy. He says, be thou holy, even as the Lord your God is holy. Old things will pass away. Holiness comes as we live the new life that's found in obedience to the Lord himself. This word, read it, listen to what it says. See the unseen things that God's written in these that are especially for you, and you might see those things that God has purposed and work, move towards that purpose and become those that God will want from you. Holiness comes as we set ourselves apart unto God, fulfilling his word and his purposes for our life, for the life of our church, and for the life of the community we serve. The community out there that's in desperate need. We've already heard today our world is in chaos. If we listen to what the news said, we'd be tearing our hair out. But our lives are not in chaos, because our Father, who sits on the throne, he's in control. God doesn't know the word chaos. He knows control. And he controls things for you, and he controls things for me. And the purposes that God has for us, as we dedicate our lives to him, they will be fulfilled. God wants to be the center and the circumference of your life. That means he wants to take over all of your life. And as you try to live holy unto him, so that will happen. A life that is holy, set apart and dedicated to the Lord himself. But this can only be done as we allow him to work in our lives. We look at where we are, what we're allowing, and say we need to get rid of that. Because those things that will come between you and me are the unclean things. And he says, touch them not. Don't allow them in your life. Don't go the way the world has gone. When anything goes. But dedication to the Lord means that we are separated. Our lives are hallowed, given to him. And we're devoted to the things that God wants to do in our lives. Do we keep ourselves separated from the world? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I look at things happen in my life and I think, I wish that hadn't have happened. I don't want to be going that way. I want to go the way that God has planned and purposed for me. Are our lives hallowed? A holy life that honours our Lord. When people see you, what do they think? What do they see? If our lives are set apart for him, they'll see Jesus. My prayer is by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, so dwell in me and in all those I come in contact with, that I will be found not wanting, but be found doing the purposes that God has called me to do. Amen.